So tonight we're going to shake things up a bit. Well, nobody was excited about that, so maybe we need to go back to the status quo. So that was a cricket you know moment. It's going to be fun. So let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to do tonight. Then I'll make a couple of announcements. Okay. Tonight's going to be a night that I think I would call healing nuggets. Healing nuggets. And this is the way it's going to look tonight. And it's so awesome how the Holy Spirit is, because today, specifically, it's not just not just these two people, but it's going to be more. But the Lord specifically put two people on my heart today that would have something to share. And I did not call them and let them know. I didn't even know they were going to be here tonight. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit knew what he was talking about. So Brad, you would be one, probably Brad and Selena. And Mark Hicks, where are you at? You're going to be another one. So I'm giving you a heads up. That's a whole lot better than me calling you up right at the middle. But this is what we're going to do tonight, healing nuggets. I believe that the Lord's given me five things to talk to you about concerning healing. All right, so I'm just aware of a lot of people that's been dealing with sickness and, you know, and probably people by live stream and... you know, I know some people that aren't here because they've been dealing with stuff. So the best thing that you can do in a moment like that, last week we talked about the imagination and about what are we looking at? What are we seeing? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know, when I grew up riding motorcycles and having a lot of fun doing those things, and we would ride in these trails, but we go up these hills where there were ditches on both sides. We called them gullies, and you know, and growing up, man, you know, as I'm going up this narrow path with these deep gullies on each side, I kept my focus on the ditch so that I could make sure I could avoid the ditch. Guess where I ended up every single time? The ditch. I never could figure that out. It's like, no, I'm looking at the ditch so that I can, you know, keep from going. And all the time felt, and my dad would just tell me, son, don't look at the ditch. Look at the top of the hill. Look at the destination. But, you know, I knew better than he did, except I always ended up being in the ditch. So I finally decided to try it his way. You know, when you decide to try it the Father's way, the Father knows better than what the Son does. That's why we yield to him. And so sure enough, when I made the decision, I'm not going to even pay attention to the ditch on the right or the left. I'm just going to keep looking to the top. Amazingly, I ended up at the destination at the top and never had a problem after that. And I could ride on just, you know, paths that were just as wide as the motorcycle tire without any issue whatsoever. You know, and it's because my eyes, my focus was on the destination. When your eyes and when your focus is on the destination and his name is Jesus, then what happens is you get your eyes off of whatever is going on in your body at the moment, because he's the source. He's the finisher of all things. Amen. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the destination. We're going to focus on the finish line or the finished work. And so the way that that's going to happen is I'm going to share a nugget of truth, and then what I would like for you guys to think about is the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We know that the blood of the Lamb absolutely sealed off Satan's influence in our life. Okay, and so why don't we just call this nugget number one? All right, nugget number one is that the blood has been applied to your life. The blood of the Lamb has been applied to your life. And we find that story and that type and shadow in Exodus chapter 12. And that's when the children of Israel, the last great plague was coming through the land of Egypt. And so they were to take a lamb, they were to kill it, they were to take the blood from that lamb, and they were to put it on the doorposts. And so as the death angel, as the angel of destruction came through the land, if it saw the blood, it could not go through the blood. It could not go inside the house. Well, the Bible says that we are the house of God. Jesus is the door of the sheep, but he's not only the door, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so his blood of the new covenant, man, I'm already getting all excited about this. His blood of the new covenant is simply that. The moment that we believe, then we enter into him. We enter into the kingdom of God. The blood has forever been applied. I don't have to apply it daily to my life. It's been applied. Now I can talk about it. I can declare it. I can proclaim it as a reminder to myself and a reminder to others of what is true. We should do those things, but we never have to, we never say, well, somehow we ended up outside of the door in a place where the devil has access to us. No, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that that those that are born of God, that they guard themselves, they keep themselves where? Where do they keep themselves? They keep themselves in the presence of God. They recognize that they are bought and paid for, and that they have totally been moved from one kingdom over to the other. And so now I've gone through the door. Jesus is the door. The door's been closed. I'm behind him. And so anytime sickness comes knocking, the devil comes knocking, guess who opens the door or answers the door? Jesus. Never gets to me. Amen. And so the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life. And so it says that they, when they left the Egypt, that there was not one sick, not one weak, not one feeble. They had eaten the lamb. They had eaten of the lamb. And so as a result, they went out totally strong, totally victorious. And so nugget number one is the blood of Jesus has been applied. The blood of the lamb has been applied to your life to provide absolute healing. So from that, we want to go into a testimony. Somebody has a testimony of how God has healed you. It doesn't have to have been just this week that you experienced a miraculous healing from God to encourage everybody else. To encourage, as the believers come together, it's great to hear the perspective and what God is doing in other members of the body. Amen. So who wants to kick it off with a testimony of healing that God has done? Come on, Carlotta.
Night before last, as I was sleeping, well, I was waking up. That evening, I had started having drainage down the back of my throat. It was thick. But when I tried to wake up, I noticed, too, that across my vocal cords and stuff, my voice is still, it's better. But it was getting raspy. But I could not breathe. It was thick mucus covering my windpipe. And I had to struggle to come out of it and get something up so I can breathe. But the Lord just led me to do the peppermint oil in the water with the thing. And I almost killed myself because it was too hot. But anyway, but I mean, it one side just opened up. And today, praise God.
Amen. That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. We're glad that you didn't kill yourself. We're glad that you're here. And but you know, sometimes this is the reason why it's important to hear the voice of God, which is what I'm talking about on Sundays. Is God will tell you something to do, sometimes to help your situation. You know, sometimes we're ready just for a supernatural explosion of power in our life, and we don't recognize sometimes that maybe there's some things that we're eating or that we're doing that's contributing to what we're experiencing, or that there's a remedy right there that God says, do this. Man, Jennifer and I've had that over and over again. You know, the Lord just told me something just in the last few days that I wasn't happy about. I've grown quite addicted to dark chocolate. Like, I'm talking about 85% dark chocolate. I mean, you know, what started off as one little square a day ended up to being a bar or two a day kind of thing. And the Lord just told me, you need to cut it out for a while. And that was a cricket moment. I did not. But, you know, because he knows, you know, that perhaps that there's some things, you know, too much of it is not good for me. So I said, okay, we'll just cut it out for a while. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Now, does that mean that I'm going to get up and start preaching against dark chocolate? No, this is just for a temporary season. This is just for a moment. This is a light, momentary affliction. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's what God is telling me personally. Greg, why don't you come up here? And again, I love the story. Share the testimony of what God did with your soul, with your shoulder, not your soldier, but with your shoulder.
4th of July, I dove off of a boat dock, and my arm went back behind my head, and I instantly felt something pull. So I went on for a little while, and finally went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that, you know, they did an MRI and that I had a torn rotator cuff surgery, definitely. So after a few weeks, we had gone to the men's retreat, and I was scheduled that Monday or Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, to have the surgery. And while we was on the retreat, pastor said, hey, we're going to pray for you. And they prayed for me, and Brad and Selena, Brad and Pastor both had the same vision, that a needle was going through and sewing. And when they got in there to do the surgery, I did not have a torn rotator cuff. I did not have the damage that they said that I had, or that they figured that I would have. And it's just a miracle that, you know, what had happened. And, you know, the surgery didn't take nowhere near as long as they thought it was going to. And it was just, it was awesome. I mean, my shoulder's great now. I mean, there's no issues. And, you know, it's just a miracle what he did. You know, he did the surgery before the doctor even saw it. You know, he did the surgery.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That is awesome. Let me read this. I just got this text today. God is no respecter of persons. What I want tonight is for your faith to be built, your expectation to be built in just the goodness of God and the healing power of God. So we were up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a couple 2 or 3 weeks ago now, something like that, ministering to a group of Presbyterians. Wow, that was that's the first time I've ever done that, and that was an interesting experience to say the least. But it was a blessing. God, you know, I mean, I went ahead and just preached the gospel to them, you know, and one of the things I said to them is I just, you know, Jennifer and I decided not to read the Bible with the lens of our denomination or the lens of our theology, but just to believe what it said. And went through a couple of things there and then said, and so here's a scripture that says that that these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'm not trying to figure out how that fits into my doctrine. I'm just choosing to believe it. And that's when we started experiencing the greatest growth, when we actually just believe what was written as opposed to trying to figure it all out. Amen. So So I offered to pray for, I said, is anybody here sick? Let's just believe this and let's just go for it. And they were kind of hesitant, honest. They were kind of hesitant, but the lady that invited us up there that, had been a part of our church said that, I have been having an issue with my knee. And so if you would, I mean, it had been ongoing. Would you pray for it? Well, I got a text from her, just a little while ago. And she said, I need to give you this testimony. My knee is amazingly better. I have not had my prescription morning naproxen since you were here. Just had my eye checked today, something on with a retina at the doctor. I've been going once a month for about 6 or 7 months with a very swollen retina. My first visit back, my right eye vision was 20/400. It has rapidly been improving, but this visit, my right eye was 20/20, and all swelling is gone. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, man, that is awesome. Praise God. So let me give you nugget number two, okay? Nugget number two, and then Brad, if you and Selena have a testimony, something to share, something that God's put on your heart, if you would, you can come on up. As far as I'm concerned, this won't take long. Nugget number two: God in the Old Testament, he gradually revealed himself and different characteristics about himself, and so that we know that his name was Jehovah or Yahweh, Jehovah. And so what happened is he began to reveal himself redemptively, and what that would look like when Jesus came. Well, the very first name that he revealed himself as was in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Can we bring that up? Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Thank you, Father. And so it says this: if you'll diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment, keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases. And that also means I will not allow, I will make sure that there's none of these diseases can come on you that I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. And so right there, from the very beginning, his very first redemptive name was that he wanted us to know that he is a God who heals. And notice that this healing was available to those that he had covenant with. Glory to God. And we are now in covenant with him. We are under a better covenant. And so he is still the Lord that heals today. And we know 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that talks about that Jesus became sin. That's the root of all destruction, the root of all disease, the root of all sickness was sin, that sin entered into the world, and then death entered in by sin. And so Jesus took care of the root so we wouldn't have to have the fruit. Glory to God. And so the root of sin was cut off when Jesus bore it, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So I don't identify with the root of sin. I now identify with the root of righteousness. And so the root of sin produced sickness, but the root of righteousness produces healing and wholeness and salvation forever and more. So by his stripes, I was healed. Glory to God. He is the Lord. And it's got to be personal to you that he is the Lord, your healer. Not just the Lord that heals. You need to personalize that. Lord, you are my healer. You have something? Come on.
Amen. That's cool. You know, Pastor Mark, that's one part is just exactly what you had shared. Something that been rolling around in my heart and mind on healing has been the connection to healing and righteousness. Right? You know, Jesus was there, I think it's in Matthew chapter 9 is one version, and it says that, you know, they had let the lame man, I believe, down through the roof, and Jesus then has this unique conversation. He says, so which one's easier? To say, rise up, take up your bed, walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven? Now again, let's pose that question. Which one's easier? Your sins are forgiven. Why is it easier? Why is that something easier to say? Because you can't see it, right? It's easy to say, you know, brother, your sins are forgiven. Awesome. Amen. Praise God. Be warmed and filled. Right? Right? Praise God. You're forgiven. Because it's something, it's real, it's true, but it's something that's not tangible. But Jesus wanted to make righteousness tangible. He wanted you to not only understand righteousness, he wanted you to see righteousness, to touch righteousness, and this to be experiential in righteousness, not only for yourself, but for you to see righteousness administered to another. So he said, hey, just so you know what I mean, I'm going to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, because they're the same. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Which one's easier? Both. Why? Because healing is tied to your righteousness. Now, did you hear that? The reality that you are right with God, just as Pastor Mark just said, means you are healed. I like something Pastor Dusty at our campus says all the time, right? He sits there and he says, it's more than even you are healed. He says you are health. Because something bigger than healing is the fountain of health, the fountain of life that comes. We're more than just, okay, well, I'm healed, which is kind of the indication of, well, I got sick and then I got better, then I got sick and then I got better and then I got sick. He says, no, no, you're just health. That's how healed you are. Is that because you're right? You're right with God. Now, because you're right with God, you can also say what Jesus said. You can contact sickness, which you now know is tied to the reality. This person either does not know they're righteous or they're not righteous yet. And so you can tie healing and righteousness together, and you can declare both into someone's life. Amen? Does that make sense? That's a powerful reality. And the testimony part is on the North Campus, we've had a lady that's been coming, old friend of mine from long time ago. And she's only able to come because of her work situation to our Tuesday nights. Right. And so she was coming and she had kind of a little bit, to not disclose too much, you know, she had struggled with the reality of healing because she had seen her parents pass away. Right. Believing and standing. And it really kind of rocked her. And so she had been struggling for years with esophageal strictures. Right. And she says it ran in her family. It's just been, it's a genetic thing. Everybody in her. And but it had gotten so bad. She said she couldn't eat and keep pace with eating with her family. So they'd start eating a meal, and she was always the ultimate last one to leave the table because everybody else had finished, and she just couldn't get the food down, right? But she struggled because she had lost sight of the reality of what we were just saying, that she was right. So she reached out, and, you know, because we kind of do that, right, because it's not that bad, or you've just put up with it for so long, or you, again, you, it was so common because it ran in the family. Does that make sense? And so she said, no, I'm done. I want to be experiencing my healing. And so we just felt led, and we just shared and ministered the same things. We just, you are right with God, therefore you are healed. Amen. You are this. And she knew that. She's like us. She grew up hearing those things, and it was not new news. You know, sometimes the best news, not new news. It's the news you already had for a while. Maybe you just forgot. Amen. And so what happened was, is we just were sharing those things. We prayed with her, and it was, she had a similar situation, Greg. She had an appointment set for a doctor, and she says, okay, well, this is what it is. I'm not going to that appointment. She says, that's it. I am right. I am healed. I am health. This is done. She goes, it's there, but my goal is I'm going to have to cancel that appointment. And guess what she got to do? She had to cancel that appointment. Amen. Because the reality of her rightness, Amen. It just woke up again inside of her and it healed her throat. Amen. Because she is right. Because you are right. You are health. You are full of the life of God. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen.
That's awesome. One thought that I had on that is the revelation of her rightness made everything right. You know, and now when we talk about rightness and righteousness, now we're not talking about righteousness that comes because we're doing everything right. We are righteous because Jesus is made unto us righteous. There was a great exchange that took place, that your sin, that your mistakes, that your failures, he took on the cross. He took all of that. He identified, he died as you, took your place as you, and then turned right around and somehow in the spirit swapped places, swapped clothes, and we're clothed with now a robe of righteousness. We got a different skin now in the spirit, and it's Jesus' skin, and it's holy, and so all that rightness makes everything else right. Isn't that awesome? And only God can do something like that. But I'll only experience it to the level that I can actually believe it. Amen. Praise God. That is awesome. So, nugget number three for me, Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And there, the people of God... The Israelites had murmured, complained, they were upset. They were tired of this manna every day. We're tired of this light bread. Give us something more to eat. When is God going to do this? When is God going to do that? And so because of their unbelief and because of all of these fiery serpents, it says, went amongst them and I guess these poisonous serpents and began to bite them and people began to die. And so when they recognized, oh man, we've sinned, and recognized this was a covenant of law. This was a covenant of you have to do right to get right. And if you do wrong, then you're judged for it. That's where Jesus came in and took all of this. So I want you to see the power of this for a moment. So see that a serpent biting a person, if you think about a poisonous snake, a rattlesnake or something like that, biting somebody, a cobra, and the poison that enters into them, how does that actually cause somebody to die? Does anybody know how does venom actually cause somebody to die? It gets into the blood, it goes somewhere. But I think actually what happens is their nervous system. Yeah, neurotoxins and they're unable to then breathe, and so they literally end up suffocating, those kinds of things, because they cannot function. Well, you know, that kind of seems like that's a picture of what happened in the garden. That the serpent came in. Satan, through the serpent, began to, you know, influence Eve's thinking. Sin entered in and poisoned humanity that then paralyzed and rendered them unable to accomplish, unable to live, unable. Okay, now, so I want you to see the type and the shadow, the parallel here, because what happens here is... Therefore, the people, in verse 7, came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Look at the remedy. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, interestingly enough, this is actually the logo for medicine, you know, today. is a serpent on a pole. Okay, but what is it representative of? It's representative of the cross. It's Jesus now hanging on the pole, hanging on the tree. It's Jesus becoming or being made a curse for us. It is Jesus. He also represents the remedy for sin and the remedy for the poison and the remedy for sickness and all of that. What was required of them to get healed? That word to look means a continual, steadfast look. In other words, they had to look away from where they had been bitten. They had to look away from the wound, and they had to look to the remedy. They had to stay focused on that sin, that sickness, that serpent being hung on that pole. What is our remedy today? It's to look at the cross. It's a steadfast, continual, not give up. I'm looking at the remedy. My sin, my sickness, all of my disease was laid on Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says that that it might be fulfilled by that which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet. Again, Matthew 8, 17, I believe it is. It says that he bare, I'm not saying it exactly right, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So if you want to experience continual life, continual healing, continual salvation, continual everything, look to the cross. Look to the remedy. Don't look to your situation. He was lifted up to draw all judgment to himself so that we wouldn't have to experience that. Amen. Amen. Who else has a testimony of healing that they want to share? Come on up, Sharisa. Is this encouraging you tonight? Isn't this awesome?
I have several of them, but the one that really keeps coming to my mind is about 6 years ago, I had a really bad stomach virus. Sick, so sick. You know, you're on the floor. You don't even feel like getting up. I was so sick. And I was home by myself, and Jesus was just there with me on the floor, you know, and he showed himself wrapping his whole body around me. Okay, I was sitting on the floor. He wrapped his whole self around me. And I saw the blows of sickness that were trying to come to me hitting his back. And just hitting his back. And he was just holding me and protecting me. And he said, "That's what I did for you." He says, "I took those blows so you don't have to. I took those stripes so you don't have to." And since that day, I have never had another stomach virus. I've had other things, but never had another stomach virus in my life. Praise the Lord. And also, he showed me, you know, like a heat-seeking missile. Sin and sickness is like a heat-seeking missile. You can dodge it, you can run, but when you don't have the blood, it's coming for you. And he said, "I stood in that place, and I took that heat-seeking missile for you, so it's no longer seeking you anymore." So,
that's good. You know, I actually had a picture when you said that. Of a bottle rocket. Have you ever shot those bottle rockets? You know, me and my brothers used to have a bottle rocket fights. You know, we would aim them at each other and see if we could hit each other and that sort of thing. You know, but it what'd you say? we did that with Roman candles too. You know, boom boom. But sometimes, you know, those that bottle rocket that I'd aimed at my brother, you know, it would just like fizzle out, just like didn't have any power in it whatsoever. I just kind of saw that, you know, all those heat-seeking missiles that, you know, they just, you know, as soon as they hit the blood, they just go. You know, it's just they've lost all of its power whatsoever. Amen, amen. Who's got another testimony they want to share? Come on, Tim.
Been about 4 years ago, about this time of the year, because it was right in the middle of tax season. Me and my wife, we separated. And after 3 or 4 months, you know, we talked back and forth, and then she never seemed like she wanted to be get back together. And it ended up, we actually wrote the papers out. And during that time, you know, I had a broken heart. So, you know, and I didn't want a divorce. And one night I told Jesus, I don't want a divorce. You know, I don't want a divorce, but I can't do anything about it. You know, so we agreed to have a divorce. Before the papers were signed, he healed my heart. We got back together. It took a little time, you know, but also in that period of time, he taught me the wisdom to be the man that I needed to be in that marriage too, so that our marriage is stronger ever than it ever would have been.
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. You know, healing isn't just physical. I mean, you know, that is amazing. Wow, thank you, Jesus. What a great, great testimony. Mark, do you have anything yet? Do you want to share? Or, huh? You okay right now? Okay, just, you will. No pressure. So, all right, what am I on? Number what? I'm going to four, right? Here's number four. Number four. Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed them all. I'm just going to read some scripture to you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Not just most of them, he healed them. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, when evening was come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus was redemption walking here on the earth. In chapter 12, verse 15 of Matthew, it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. There's never one person that he ever turned away. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and what? Healed them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Let's see if we can find some all. Chapter 6, verse 19. Go back to verse 17, and it says that he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him, and they came to be healed of their diseases, as well as those who are tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, whoo, and healed them all. He healed every single one of them. And I imagine there's others that we could go through, but I want you to see that everywhere that Jesus went, last scripture right there in this nugget, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good, and read the next part, and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus, we know, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he healed all of them back then, and then when he hung on the cross, he was the solution, the remedy for all humanity. He's the same today, and he heals all today as the Holy Spirit applies the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's got a testimony that they want to share? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Lisa.
Well, I've got several, but I'm not going to take up all your time. But I've got lots of healing testimonies. But I was just start with when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I had my adenoids and my tonsils taken out. And right after that, I started waking up as a kid. When I would wake up in the morning, I would have my eyes would be swollen. And they never, you know, related it to that. And I think it might have been from that, but they thought it was allergies. And it would not happen every day, but it would happen a lot. And as I got older, it was very hard to go to school and stuff when you wake up and your eyes are swollen, sometimes one, sometimes two. Sometimes I looked like a boxer, like I had just come out of a boxing ring. It was so bad. But, I mean, I went through high school like this. But, and they never, I never had, you know, that. But when I was in my mid-20s and I gave my life back to God, got saved when I was six, but came back and really gave my life to God in my mid-20s, I went to church, and I was in church, and this guy was up preaching, and he said he stopped, and he said, "Somebody here has had problems with your eyes, and God says you will never have that problem again." And, you know, I did not know grace. I did not understand. But I believed the word of God. And because I believed him and that God had spoke through him and I believed and received it, I never had another problem with my eyes ever waking up and swelling again. But then I learned about grace. And then things happened, and it's like, I'm going to give a quick testimony. I have horses, and I fell off of my horse a few years ago, and I couldn't do nothing but sit on a donut, y'all. I broke my tailbone. It was sore, and I was like that for a while, and it got better, but if I sat in church for a long time, my tailbone started hurting, and I'd have to shift and shift because my tailbone hurt, and so, but I started hearing Andrew Womack talk about you've already got it, that it's already yours. And so I started praying, and I wasn't asking for it anymore. I was thanking God for it, that it's already done. Thank you, God. But I still had the pain, but I was praising God that it was done and that he knew about this long time ago and he already made provision for it and I receive it and everything. So I'm in a meeting and this guy, he's up preaching, somebody called Andrew Womack, and he said, y'all, anybody who wants prayer, come on across up here in the front. I didn't get up. Mm-mm. I sat still. I'm like, I've already got it. I don't need you to pray for me. I was still hurting in that service, but I wouldn't come up and get prayer. And that might say very proudful, but I just really believed I already had it. And so I didn't get up, but he went on and he had different people praying for different ones. And he stopped all of a sudden, Andrew Womack did, and he stopped and he said, "Somebody here has broke your tailbone," he says, "but you're getting healed, you are healed, you know." And so he called me out, even though I wouldn't go up and do that. So, and I could go on, so I won't.
That's awesome. Praise God. Amen. Alan, would you come up and share what happened with Melissa just recently? And then if there's something else that's on your heart to share, this is an awesome testimony too.
Probably back in October of last year, my wife was in the car and she was in the passenger seat and she reached behind her. I think she was picking up a gallon of tea from the grocery store and she felt something rip in her shoulder and she knew she was hurt. And she probably went for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, just, you know, couldn't move it, couldn't do anything. So finally, the pain got so bad, she decided to go to an orthopedic doctor and they did an MRI and they found that she had a torn bicep muscle. And so, you know, we went back and forth about what to do. You know, we certainly were believing God. And she just had peace about going back to the orthopedic doctor. And he said we could do one of two things. We could do advanced physical therapy, might take several weeks, or we could do the surgery. We're leaving for Costa Rica in March. And so she wanted to be 100% by the time we left. and she didn't want to take the chance of going for 4, 5, 6 weeks of therapy and it still have to do the surgery. So when we talked to the doctor, she immediately said, I have peace about the surgery. So we set it up, and then when the doctor got in there and I went back and talked with him, he showed me the pictures. He said, there are no tears. There's no injury whatsoever. There was just some inflammation. She had frozen shoulder from not moving it. So he opened the shoulder joint up and said, it's not injured anyway, so you can't hurt it. So the next day after the surgery, she was lifting her arm. She hasn't done that for 2 or 3 months. She's still doing a little bit of physical therapy, but now she can put her arm behind her. She can do this. And the one thing that blessed her is that she could put her hair in a ponytail now again because she couldn't reach back with this arm to do that. So she's, like I said, almost 100% where she was. And so in the process of time, we've been feeding on this for several days. Melissa's going to be doing a teaching for school about how God loves to give. And so we were talking about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave, not because just because we needed a Savior, but because he loved us. So we got, and I'm going to read this verse that you normally associate with finances, but I'll tie it together. This is 2 Corinthians 9:7 from the Amplified Classic. It said, let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver. And so as we were discussing this thing about God giving, it just came to us and said, if God loves a cheerful giver, wouldn't he be a cheerful giver? And if God gave Jesus to the world, a lot of times you hear a perspective of that the Father gave his Son and bankrupted heaven. And you hear people preach that I wouldn't give my child. And the Father, you know, he gave his Son. But he didn't do it reluctantly or sorrowfully. It said he purposed in his heart if he's a cheerful giver. And that goes to Isaiah 53 that said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, the human mind cannot wrap itself around the fact that the Father sent one-third of the Godhead to be a seed and a virgin and be born in a human body and then sacrifice him, and it said it pleased him. And this goes back to Brad's point. Isaiah 53:4 says he was bruised for our iniquities. And then if you read 1 Peter 2:24, it says by his stripes we're healed. A lot of translations says by his bruise we're healed. It pleased the Lord to bruise him for our sin, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him for our sickness because Jesus loves to heal. Praise God. And he's cheerful about it. He's cheerful about it. You know, when you give something to somebody you love, you get more pleasure out of it than they do. My wife gave our son something for Christmas, and she waited for months and couldn't wait to give it to him. I don't even know if he said thank you. I'm sure he did. But she was so excited about it. But the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, he gave the first messianic prophecy. He said, there's a seed coming that's going to bruise the devil's head. And for 4,000 years, he couldn't wait until Jesus was born to be bruised for us. Praise God. Amen.
That's awesome. Man, I'm just encouraged. That's amazing. Mark, if you don't have anything on your heart, would you share what you shared the last time that you shared about the name of Jesus? Because it was just awesome. Because, you know, the name of Jesus is above every name. And what you had to share that time just really kind of brought it home. So, amen.
I'm just going to take a step of faith also and just go ahead and thank God for the miracle that's happened in my family. I just know some good things are coming, and I will be up here pretty soon giving a great testimony. But something God showed me was when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And as they were up there, the Bible says that Elijah and Moses, right? They appeared, and Peter said, Lord, do you want us to build 3 tents? And he heard a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Something that God showed me was that a lot of times today, people get caught up with the movements in the Old Testament, you know, the Jeremiah, this, the Isaiah, the something, you know what I mean? But you know, it's amazing if we could just hear what God told Peter right there. He said, hear him. Stop looking at Moses. Come on. Stop looking at Elijah and the prophets. Stop looking at these things. hear me, hear Jesus. Like, amen. Well, thank you. You know, I praise God that he showed me that, because I got caught up in these things. You know, I got caught up with wanting to hear the latest movement going on, you know. But Jesus said, hey, hear me. Hear what I have to say. Amen. And the Bible says that, you know, the word of God is powerful. You know, I think it was John the Baptist when he was in prison. You know, he got discouraged. He sent his disciples and to Jesus and asked him, hey, you know, are you the one, or should we be looking for another? You know, what did Jesus tell him? You know, go tell him the lame are healed, the sick, the dead are raised. In other words, you know, John the Baptist was very skilled in the Old Testament. And so he knew that, hey, this is, you know, this is the Christ. In other words, go get in the word. Amen. You know, just believe what you know. Believe what you know in the word. Amen. So hear him. Amen. Amen.
That's awesome. And that, and you know, something out of that is where you see Peter and them, see their eyes are getting focused on all of these different things, and this brings it right back. And I know why the Lord had you to share that, because it comes right back to what I started out with. Because I started out with, you know, looking unto Jesus and not getting off in a ditch. And where they could have gotten off in a ditch by looking at the law, getting off the ditch by looking at the prophets. You know, even in today, let me encourage you, there's a lot of things that are out there that is looking for your attention. And I'm not talking about just politically, and I'm not just talking about what's going on in the world. I'm talking about what's happening in the Christian world. You know, and there's this there's a shift towards, again, end time events, end time prophecy. I'm not against those things, but if blood moons and all of those things is what is capturing your attention, then perhaps you've missed Jesus in the process. And that as we see him, as we look to him, we will not be caught unaware. We'll know everything that's going on, and we look to him. And I'm okay with end time prophecy and all of that. I'm not against that kind of stuff at all. I mean, the Bible's full of it. I'm just saying, make sure that you keep the main thing, and you're hearing him. So nugget number five, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. One of my favorite healing scriptures, if you will. I'm going to wait for them to bring it up, and then we'll read it. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, lives in you, has his home in you, then it goes on to say, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. But what's the process? How does he do it? Through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is where I believe that people have lost the revelation of righteousness and lost the revelation of healing, because a lot of times we're looking for somebody, we're looking for an external gift, an external source, an external minister, or a power from heaven to come externally and heal us. But God's preferred method for the believer is for him to wake up to the righteousness, to wake up to who's on the inside of him, to wake up to Jesus is there on the inside. The Spirit of God is there on the inside of you. And so his healing, his giving life to your mortal body, to your fleshly body, is through the Spirit that is on the inside of you. It's not an outside in healing. It's an inside out. Glory to God. And recognize that the degree of the power, the measure of that, Ephesians chapter 1, you know, he said, I want your eyes to be open, verse 18. Let's go to there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And then I'll bring it to a close, Ephesians 1, 18. Hallelujah. Man, I have been encouraged tonight. Thank you guys for just yielding to God, and this has been encouraging to me, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. He wants you to know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, not to the saints, not for the saints, but what? That are riches. in the saints. You've got something on the inside of you. And so he goes on, verse 19. Verse 19 says, and also I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. In other words, the greatness of his power is going to really be in the measure that we believe. And so he says, let me try to paint you a picture of how great that power is. It is in the measure. It is according to the working of his mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Glory to God. So he says, I want you to know that the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, to obliterate sickness, disease, bruising, suffering, and everything that sin that he had taken and the poison that he had taken into himself. I want you to see that the same power that went out and rooted out every bit of that sin, every bit of that sickness, every bit of that disease, every bit of that bruising, everything that caused death and made it all brand new and transformed that whole body, that's the same power that is on the inside of you. You have that. When Greg shared his testimony, when we prayed, what I saw was like golden, like golden liquid honey, golden tentacles, if you will, from the inside going up to that torn muscle and just began to knit it together. It wasn't because we were around him laying hands on. Thank God for the anointing that comes. You know, I was praying for somebody Sunday morning and I had this picture. So you see this. So that you'll use this and as you pray for people or as you ask to be prayed for, as I prayed for her, I saw a joining together of two rivers. There was a river, there was a flow coming out of me, the healing power and anointing of God, but there was also a flow coming up from her that was on the inside of her. And then I saw both of those rivers, those streams hit together. And when it did, man, she erupted in tongues. I'm telling you, God showed up. I told her what I was seeing. And literally after that, she said, it's the most powerful moment in my entire life. So see that as we pray for one another. You know, don't just be a recipient that's not active in the process. Recognize you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and it's powerful when two people come together in agreement. Amen. This was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Please, come on. Yeah.
This is what life is about. Yeah. You understand? Aren't you glad you don't grow by yourself? Yeah. Amen. But anyway, but you were saying so, Pastor Mark, and Mark, this is for you, brother. This is, I want you to, I'm speaking to everyone, but this is for you. Based on what you'd said, is, you know, it says that the eyes of your heart could see something that is real, that's true, but you haven't seen it yet. That's Paul's prayer. It was a revelatory prayer. He was saying, you need to see something that is a reality, even though maybe on the external you don't see it, but it's still real, right? And it's the power, because remember, in the New Testament, hope is best translated as our word, imagination. That's what that means. I shared this in our church. For me, Selena and I, we went through a miscarriage recently with a baby. And the tough part about that is I could already see myself playing with my child. You see, because you can imagine, you know, you can see. See, that's that word when we say we have an expectation, is I can already see something that is a reality, even though I haven't touched it yet in the natural. Right? And that's the power. It says that, and we've been walking this out, it says in Hebrews, right, it says, now faith, and we retranslate that, I say, and so my persuasion is the foundation of my imagination. Do you see that? That's what faith means. Faith, Abraham says, and him being fully persuaded in the one who made the promise, that that one was able to do what he had promised. But think about Abraham's life and the power that God did in imagination. See, he started the faith journey with Abraham with, hey, look up at the stars at night. Look down at the sand during the day and see something that's a reality. See not stars and don't see sand. See your children. See your descendants. See the promise. See what I said. See, that's hope. I mean, and as we do this, and what you said, what you saw with the lady on Sunday is an imagination. See, it's faith. My persuasion is the foundation of what I'm imagining. So as we engage this process, as you engage what you're facing, brother, I just encourage you that see it. Not see what's happening here. Not see what's happening in the physical, but see the promise. See, that's biblical meditation for us, is to stop and to take the time and to imagine and to see the promise of God with eyes that have been enlightened to the hope of his calling, to the riches of the glory of your inheritance because you're a saint in the light, to see the exceeding greatness of his power that is toward you because you believe, according, as Pastor said, to the power that raised up Christ. See, what we see is we see the demonstration of resurrection constantly, but we see it. I mean, we will see it before we experience it. We must see it first, and we see it with hope, with our imagination. Does that make sense? And so I just encourage us as we're here, as we talk about this, and what you said is to see it. To take the time and say, Father, show me your imagination for this situation. Jeremiah said that I know, and he says, we translate it, it says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. But in the Hebrew language, it actually says that I know the imaginations that I have already had about this for you. He has imagined your future. He has imagined your life. God has. Isn't that cool? That he has imaginations about you. And we can engage and say, Father, show me that picture. And I'm going to do that. And that is my hope. Amen. That is what I am persuading my heart towards. Amen.
That's good. That's good. Let's just take a moment. We're going to just receive right now. We're going to look to Jesus. And I want to encourage you. You know, there are things that Jennifer and I continue to stand for and to believe God for. And, you know, that perhaps we haven't seen everything that we want to see in terms of a physical manifestation. But what we do is our hope is in what God has said. And our hope and our imagination is in the promise, like what Brad was talking about, but it's in Jesus. And what we do know is that hope and that imagination, that picture is growing bigger every day. And that we want to engage in that every day. And we don't, you know, when there's the temptation and the tendency to want to say, well, why haven't we seen? Why haven't we seen? Or why not this? Or why is this happening again? Or what, you know, what did I do to open the door? What did I, then where's your eyes starting? Where's your focus being? Your focus now gotten on yourself. Your focus now, and guess what? Now you're headed off into a ditch again. But it takes just one moment to say, nope, nope, nope. Jesus, I'm looking to you. Holy Spirit, you're there. You're feeling, you're writing on my heart. You've written on my heart your imaginations, your thoughts for me, your thoughts for this situation, your word for this. And I'm going to continue. I trust you, Father. I trust you. You work everything out for my good. Healing comes. Glory to God. Listen, right now, I just feel an amazing flow right now in the Spirit, just that people's hearts are being opened to see it and to step into a level of faith and a level of expectancy than you have in a long time. Just lift your hands towards heaven right now. Let's yield to God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you right now Jesus, Jesus, you are the source of life. You are the tree of life. You are the Prince of life. You are the source of all healing. You are the source of our righteousness. You are the source of our total salvation in every area of our life, whether it's a broken heart, whether it's a physical sickness, whether it's something else that's going on in our life. You're the source of all of that, of every remedy that we need. You are the picture of the brazen serpent lifted up on the pole, the curse that was laid on mankind, the curse that came into this world through the bite of the serpent, the curse that was laid upon humanity was lifted up on the cross 2,000 years ago. And you became that curse. Whew. So that we'd never have to live under that again. And that we'd be restored to absolute fellowship, absolute righteousness, absolute goodness, absolute healing, absolute life, and to live it more abundantly. And so we simply right now in Jesus' name imagine every ailment, everything that we've dealt with on you, Jesus, the curse of humanity laid on you, every sin, every judgment, as you're suspended between heaven and earth. The one mediator between God and man. The door to the kingdom. The Lamb of God. We look to you. We focus on you. The author, the source of our faith. But also the one who is the completion, the finisher of everything that we believe. Jesus, you're all of those things to us. So thank you right now. Thank you that life comes. Thank you for life. Thank you for life. Thank you for life. Thank you for life. Thank you that every curse, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, some of you that have dealt with recurring sickness and recurring disease and recurring things that have attacked your families, I declare right now in Jesus' name, receive it. It's broken over you tonight in the name of Jesus. If you've had a seasonal thing that's hit you every time the flu season comes around, every time allergies comes around, it's broken over you right now in this moment. In this moment, leave it at the cross. You're on the other side. You're on the resurrected life side in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for growing that picture. Imagination, the imagination that comes from the Word, the imagination, see the things in the Spirit. Let that become bigger. You had a great imagination as a child. Now have a great imagination as a child of God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Powerful night. Powerful night. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, don't forget about our little handout that we have, different happenings that are going on here. Small groups will begin signing up over the next 2 weeks for this Sunday and next Sunday. Really excited. Ashley Terades will be here Sunday week. You guys are going to be so blessed by him. He'll also be at Karis. And this is something that you could tell the North Campus as well. He'll also be at Karis on Saturday the 16th, and that's open to the public for him to minister at. And yeah, so there's a few hours of just amazing teaching from an awesome man of God. You guys are going to really, and you're going to love his British accent too. It's awesome. And so just great things, you know, happening. So I encourage you to get that. Remember about small groups. If anybody is interested, I'll be sharing over at Fusion Church tomorrow night over in Hueytown. I don't know if that's 6:30 or 7, but they're going to start doing a once a month Thursday, and they invited me to be their first speaker. So we're going to do that tomorrow night, and I'm excited to be with our friend, close friend Justin Carrier and his church over there in Hueytown. So That's awesome. You guys are blessed. Love on each other on your way out. You're healed. You're whole. And enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you either at prayer on Saturday or at church Sunday.